He decided to stick around for 24 hours. Maybe there would be a clearer prognosis on Barr's condition after that. Maybe somehow he could check with Emerson and get a better feel for the evidence. Then maybe he could feel okay about leaving things with Alex Roden's office on a kind of forensic autopilot. If there were problems down the road, maybe he would read about them in a newspaper somewhere, far in the future, on a beach or in a bar, and then he could come all the way back again. So, 24 hours in a small heartland city. He decided to go see if there was a river. There was a river. It was a broad, slow body of water that moved west to east through an area south of downtown. Some tributary that fed the mighty Ohio, he guessed. Its north bank was straightened and strengthened with massive stone blocks along a 300-yard stretch. The blocks might have weighed 50 tons each. They were immaculately chiseled and expertly fitted. They made a quayside, a wharf. They had tall, fat iron mushrooms set into them to tie off ropes. Stone paving slabs made the wharf 30 feet deep. All along its length were tall wooden sheds, open on the riverside, open on the street side. The street was made of cobbles. 100 years ago, there would have been huge river barges tied up and unloading. There would have been swarms of men at work. There would have been horses and carts clattering on the cobbles. But now there was nothing, just absolute stillness and the slow drift of the water. Scabs of rust on the iron mushrooms, clumps of weeds between the stones. Some of the sheds still had faded names on them. McGinty Dry Goods, Allentown Seed Company, Parker Supply. Reacher strolled the 300 yards and looked at all of them. They were still standing, strong and square. Ripe for renovation, he guessed. A city that put an ornamental pool with a fountain in a public plaza would spruce up the waterfront. It was inevitable. There was construction all over town. It would move south. They would give someone tax breaks to open a riverside cafe. Maybe a bar, maybe with live music Thursday through Saturday. Maybe with a little museum laying out the history of the river trade. He turned to walk back and came face to face with Helen Roden.
"You're not such a hard man to find," she said.
"Evidently.
Tourists always come to the docks."
She was carrying a lawyer-sized briefcase.
"Can I buy lunch?"
She walked him back north to the edge of the new gentrification. In the space of a single, dug-up block, the city changed from old and worn to new and repainted. Stores changed from dusty mom-and-pop places with displays of vacuum cleaner bags and washing machine hoses to new establishments showing off spotlit $100 dresses and shoes and $4 lattes and things made of titanium. They walked past a few such places, and then Helen Roden led him into an eatery. It was the kind of place he had seen before. It was the kind of place he usually avoided. White walls, some exposed brick, engine-turned aluminum tables and chairs, weird salad combinations, random ingredients thrown together and called inventive. She led him to a table in the far back corner. An energetic kid came by with menus. Helen Roden ordered something with oranges and walnuts and gorgonzola cheese, with a cup of herbal tea. Reacher gave up on reading his menu and ordered the same thing, but with coffee. Regular. Black.
"This is my favorite place in town," Helen said. He nodded. He believed her.
She looked right at home. The long, straight hair, the black clothes, the youthful glow. He was older and came from a different time and a different place.
"I need you to explain something," she said.
She bent down and opened her briefcase, came out with the old tape player, placed it carefully on the table, pressed play. Reacher heard James Barr's first lawyer say,
"Denying it is not an option."
Then he heard Barr say,
"Get Jack Reacher for me."
"You already played that for me."
"But why would he say it?"
"That's what you want me to explain?" She nodded. "I can't."
"Logically, you're the last person he should have asked for."
"I agree."
"Could he have been in any doubt about how you felt 14 years ago?
"I don't think so. I made myself pretty clear."
"Then why would he ask for you now?"
Reacher didn't answer. The food came and they started eating. Oranges, walnuts, gorgonzola cheese, all kinds of leaves and lettuces and a raspberry vinaigrette. It wasn't too bad, and the coffee was okay. Play me the whole tape, he said. She put her fork down and pressed the rewind key. Kept her hand there, one fingertip on each key, like a pianist. She had long fingers, no rings, polished nails neatly trimmed. She pressed play and picked up her fork again. Reacher heard no sound for a moment until the blank leader cleared the tape head. Then he heard a prison acoustic. Echoes, distant metallic clattering. A man breathing. Then he heard a door open and the thump of another man sitting down. No scraping of chair legs on concrete. A prison chair bolted to the floor. The lawyer started talking. He was old and bored. He didn't want to be there. He knew Barr was guilty. He made banal small talk for a while, grew frustrated with Barr's silence. Then he said, full of exasperation,
I can't help you if you won't help yourself.
There was a long, long pause. And then Barr's voice came through, agitated, close to the microphone.
They got the wrong guy.
He said it again. Then the lawyer started up again, not believing him, saying the evidence was all there, looking for a reason behind an indisputable fact. Then Barr asked for Reacher, twice, and the lawyer asked if Reacher was a doctor, twice. Then Barr got up and walked out. There was the sound of hammering on a locked door and then nothing more. Helen Roden pressed the stop key.
So why? Why say he didn't do it and then call for a guy who knows for sure he did it before?
Reacher just shrugged his shoulders and said nothing. But he saw in Helen's eyes that she had an answer.
You know something, she said. Maybe you don't know you know it, but there's got to be something there. Something he thinks can help him.
Does it matter? He's in a coma. He might never wake up.
It matters a lot. He could get better treatment.
I don't know anything.
Are you sure? Was there a psychiatric evaluation made back then?
It never got that far.
Did he claim insanity?
No. He claimed a perfect score. 4 for 4.
Did you think he was nuts?
That's a big word. Was it nuts to shoot 4 people for fun? Of course it was. Was he nuts, legally? I'm sure he wasn't.
You must know something, Reacher. It must be way down in there. You've got to dredge it up.
He kept quiet for a moment. Have you actually seen the evidence?
I've seen a summary.
How bad is it?
It's terrible. There's no question he did it. This is about mitigation, nothing more, and his state of mind. I can't let them execute an insane person.
So wait until he wakes up. Run some tests.
They won't count. He could wake up like a fruitcake and the prosecution will say that was caused by the blow to the head in the jailhouse fight. They'll say he was perfectly sane at the time of the crime.
Is your dad a fair man?
He lives to win.
Like father, like daughter? She paused.
Somewhat, she said.
Reacher finished up his salad, chased the last walnut around with his fork, and then gave up and used his fingers instead.
What's on your mind? Helen asked.
Just a minor detail. 14 years ago, it was a very tough case, with barely adequate forensics. And he confessed. This time the forensics seemed to be a total slam dunk, but he's denying it.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
So think about what you do know. Please, you must know something. You have to ask yourself, why did he come up with your name? There has to be a reason.
Reacher said nothing. The kid who had served them came back and took their plates away. Reacher pointed at his coffee cup, and the kid made another trip and refilled it. Reacher cradled it in his hands and smelled the steam.
May I ask you a personal question?
Helen Roden said to him. Depends how personal.
Why were you so untraceable? Normally guys like Franklin can find anybody.
Maybe he's not as good as you think.
He's probably better than I think.
Not everyone is traceable.
I agree. But you don't look like you belong in that category.
I was in the machine my whole life. Then the machine coughed and spat me out. So I thought, Okay. If I'm out, I'm out. All the way out. I was a little angry, and it was probably an immature reaction. But I got used to it.
Like a game?
Like an addiction. I'm addicted to being out.
The kid brought the check. Helen Roden paid. Then she put her tape player back in her briefcase, and she and Reacher left together. They walked north past the construction at the bottom of First Street. She was heading to her office, and he was going to look for a hotel. A man called Grigor Linsky watched them walk. He was slumped low in a car parked at the curb. He knew where to wait. He knew where she ate when she had company.